Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing, a podcast. My name's Stu Whiffin. Joining me always, my co-host, Mr. Christopher Glasson.
How you doing?
I'm good. You all right?
Yeah, week two in the new studio.
Yeah, yeah. We've had some nice nice feedback regarding the last week's episode. Thank you very much.
Yes.
I mean, this is the first time that we've got a guest in on the big screen.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
And before we introduce the guest, let's just quickly shout out our sponsors. So we are sponsored by the Say What podcast, which if you think this is a very average podcast, compared to that, this is like premium gold level.
Mm-hmm. This is like off menu.
Yeah, yeah. This literally is. We are Acaster and Gamble, and they're more like Hinge and Bracket. They're like it's a really substandard podcast, but they pay us to say that their podcast is good. So go check out the Say What podcast. We're actually guests on it this week, so go give that a listen.
It was incredible, and Justin now keeps inviting me over his house.
Yeah.
So yeah. I don't know what that's about. But he's like, come over, crash over, mate. We'll do it all over again. And I feel like now I've got to say yes, because he basically, you know, finances this podcast.
Look at you making that your Johnny party and everyone wants you around their ass. What's right. Who's the other sponsor?
Southern Martial Arts, mate.
Yes, yes.
If you want to, well, learn self-defense, mm-hmm. obviously Southern Martial Arts will cater for your needs. A variety mm-hmm. of different martial arts does Renchi Simon James cover. But also, if you want to change a career, you can go and, under his tutelage, become a double-R'd person and teach other people. So he will actually fast-track your career to get to the position where you can actually become a sensei yourself. Mm. A bit like you, Stu.
Yeah, you get an actual certificate that just says you're like, you're an hard bastard, and you can feature in films like Bad Slags and stuff like that.
And your hands will become licensed weapons, as are mine already.
Absolutely. Well, look, it's interesting that we're talking scrapping and rolling around. Yes. Should we introduce today's guest?
We're not about to fight today's guest.
No, that would be weird. Joining us today, Sakisa, hello.
Hello. Hi. How are we both?
Not bad. You all right?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very jealous of your podcast studio.
Thank you.
We've only just mastered the art of keeping it warm, because last week when we was filming, there was just...
You could see the breath.
You could see the breath coming out of us, so it's a bit warmer this week.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we're chuffed with it. It looks it's getting there.
It looks very professional.
Oh, thanks mate. If you know anyone that wants to buy a kidney, let me know, because I've literally hemorrhaged all my dough getting this place set up.
Maxed out 5 credit cards.
Well, look, Sakisa, before we get on to what you've got coming up and your wonderful career in comedy, let's find out what you're going to do for your top five. What's your topic today, Sakisa?
My top five is top five wrestlers.
Right. I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, right?
Yeah.
So before we get into this, you've joined a podcast that's quite divisive on wrestling, right? So he loves it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Right?
Well, I'm 50, right? So I missed
I think that's the... No. That's not an excuse.
I missed it.
No, because you had the era of like Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair.
Yeah. That wasn't on terrestrial TV, and none of us could afford Sky.
I had cable in Basildon.
Well, like, Yeah. They did have like the TV program that came on ITV that was wrestling.
Saturday lunchtimes, if we're going to go back old school.
Well, Giant Haystacks.
Haystacks, Daddy, yeah. Kendo Nakasaki. Oh, I'm all over that. Like, that was when I was a kid. And like, and it was people like you that loved Hogan and stuff like that.
Well, obviously, back when it was WWF into sort of like that era, the Hogans, and that was just incredible. Weirdly, it's the case of my dad looked like Hulk Hogan.
No,
100%. Honestly, 100% looked like Hulk Hogan. He did. He wasn't like he wasn't as muscular, but he had like the blonde hair, completely bald hair, handlebar moustache. So like parents' evening was just quite a funny thing. And my dad was quite stern. Although he like messed about with people, he had a very stern sort of like thing.
Yeah.
And so people often in my school, when they just wanted to get under my skin, because for about the thousandth time, they'd all just in class start singing, I am a real American. Especially if my dad walked past or whatnot.
But, that would have been great when you was a kid. Not now.
Not so much now.
Not so much now.
No. That's. I wondered if we get onto Hulkster, actually. Because, I'm like, now, and I think because of the wonders of the internet, I think now, like, you can't hide with bullshit as much, can you?
No, you can't.
I think, I think like 80s and 90s, if you grow up with everyone loving you and everyone nodding their heads at you, maybe that distorts your opinion, your knowledge of reality and what actually happened. Because I always see these videos about like Hulk Hogan's, stories and how accurate they are. So,
yeah, not very accurate.
Well, look, before we get into where your love of wrestling come from, to the point that we will talk about it, or the fact that you've also got a podcast about your love of wrestling. Who, yes. I mean, of your top five, are they in order of like one's your fave?
Right. So my number one is my favorite wrestler of all time. The rest, because this is such a difficult subject, I've kind of mixed and blended it, if you want to put it right. I've put it as my top five wrestlers as of today.
So that's going to change tomorrow, right?
Yeah, it might change tomorrow.
Hey, but when you love something, that's what happens, right? We've been doing top fives for six, 7 years now. And my opinions on especially the subjects I love the most, it's really hard to sort of like try and narrow it down to a five. We feel your pain, definitely.
It's so hard because obviously you talk about different generations of wrestling as well. I'm not really Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair kind of era. Mm-hmm. I'm more Attitude Era onwards.
Yep.
So the diversity of wrestlers during that period is so broad, and the scene changed so much during that period with different companies coming on board, different companies disappearing, different companies coming back. So, and currently in this current climate, lots of things are going on, and it's very interesting. So interesting.
Oh my God. Yeah, of course. Yeah. There's always lots of kind of, there's a dark side to wrestling, isn't there? And obviously we're seeing that at the moment, but we worked with a wrestler, didn't we? And he was in, what was the organisation called?
I used to go and watch a lot of it with Pip, didn't I? They do the strong style. This is Progress. And that kind of switched me back on, going to watch Progress with Pip. Like, I'd never been to see live wrestling. And all of a sudden, I was like, what the fuck? This is amazing. It's so much fun. Because obviously the UK wrestling industry had their, was it called Speaking Out, which was their version of Me Too. And a lot of wrestlers sort of like, got sort of like turned
disappeared.
Over. Yeah. It's very sad. And what we're seeing now at the moment just seems absolutely insane. What the things that are coming out, and like, it's like, yeah, well, the industry knew.
And for those that aren't interested, I mean, it's not shroudy mystery, is it? It's all over the papers. It's the guy that literally owns the biggest organisation, right?
Yeah. I don't know if he still does. I don't know the full skinny on it now.
So he is no longer on the... He left a couple of years ago because previous allegations came out. And then he forced himself, if you want to put it that way, he forced himself back onto the board last year. Well, yeah, we're in 2024. Maybe the beginning of last year. And now because of his allegations, he's now had to leave again. So it's, for me, it's not like it's a surprising thing these allegations have come out. Obviously, they're alleged, we always have to be like, have their alleged allegations. I'm not trying to get sued by no one, especially in the WWE.
Alleged, yeah.
But it's just a shame that you find that every industry somehow there is something like this happening.
Yeah.
And watching the wrestler's version of Me Too movement in 2021 was obviously difficult, because going to watch live wrestling, I go to Progress quite a lot.
Yeah.
And going to watch all those live shows. And I also like am involved now in Eve Wrestling, and which is all female promotion in the UK. It's kind of like, is this still happening in this day and age? It's quite a shame. It's quite sad. Yeah. But also, WWE have also got controversy about their WrestleMania situation. So they're kind of the talk of the town. And if you're the talk of the town at the moment, you're making money. So.
Well, we'll take it away from that now. Instead of bringing down your top five straight away with all the allegations, what sparked your love of wrestling? What was it that sort of like made you go, fucking, I get it, I love it?
It's the weirdest thing ever. So when I was about in night, I can't remember how old I was probably 10 or 9. I was at my best my cousin's house, and our other cousin had brought round this wrestling tape of WrestleMania from 1999. And at this point, I had only ever seen wrestling in the background of my granny's house on TV.
Yeah.
From ITV and that stuff like that. So he put on this tape of WrestleMania, and we were all like just doing our thing in the background of this wrestling show being played. Some of us were paying attention. I wasn't really paying attention until The Undertaker versus Big Boss Man Hell in the Cell match, wow. Where at the end of this match, The Undertaker hung the Big Boss Man from the cell.
Wow.
That was the match that got me hooked, and I was like,
"You were like, what?" I mean,
and when you're 10 years old, and that is the match that gets you hooked, you're kind of like, "I feel like there's a problem with Sakisa."
I'm a fan for life after seeing, yeah, Big Boss Man getting lynched.
Yeah, and it's actually the worst Hell in the Cell match ever. It's like one of the top five worst ones ever. And that's the match that got me hooked. And then Channel 4 bought the rights to WWE, and therefore in 2000, they started showing pay-per-views. And one of my favorite matches ever comes from the first ever proper pay-per-view that I stayed up and watched as an 11-year-old kid, which is the street fight between Mick Foley, aka Cactus Jack, and Triple H. It is my favorite incredible match ever. So watching it live as an 11-year-old in my house is something that I reminisce on quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I still stay up and watch wrestling depending on the pay-per-view. But she's old now. She needs sleep. She needs sleep.
Well, we used to stay up to watch like the UFCs. I did that religiously for years. And now, a bit like Stu, it's like, I just can't do it, because like if I stay up, then like Sunday I'm just dead. So I kind of wake up Sunday morning and then I watch it.
Yeah.
But like back when you're 11, I can imagine the sort of like level of excitement that you're up late anyway. It absolutely all feels a little bit like naughty, yeah. But
yeah, I am kind of happy that they've moved the pay per views for WWE to Saturday. It is a good thing, because I've just finished work, so Friday, Saturday as a comedian is probably your busiest day. So I would have just like finished work, go to a pub with a friend or sports bar, or hang out at someone's house or my own house and watch a pay-per-view. You could stay up till 4 o'clock and it feels like it's a party. Yeah. On a Sunday was a little bit more difficult.
yeah, of course. Well, Sakisa, what's your number five? Let's get the countdown started.
Okay, so again, these four are not in order.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I've done this is I've given myself the first two ones I'm going to give you are my upcomers of the year, if you want to put it that way, my top five currently. So number five, we're going to go with Will Ospreay.
Oh, amazing.
He used to live on, well, I won't say where he lived. He lived around the corner to me.
Accidentally docks him.
I very nearly bought his car.
Really?
I went to buy a car and a fellow went, yeah, so someone just brought this one in yesterday. Are you interested? I was like, oh, that's nice. He went, yeah, yeah. He was a wrestler. And like, and as he travelled, I thought, that's Will Ospreay, isn't it? Of course it is. Like, yeah. Right, tell us about Will.
Yeah.
He's an amazing talent. And I'm so happy that how he has accomplished what he has accomplished, especially in the last couple of years. But he's also stay rooted with his UK, like, ground, like, old, like, his home is, like, here. You feel that? I'm kind of gutted because next week is Rev Pro's big show, and he will be appearing against Michael Oku, like, for the championship for Rev Pro. And it's probably the last time you're going to see Will Ospreay in the UK for a very long time. And I'm missing this show because it's the first day of my tour. So I'm very upset. There's probably a time. But to see him live is a blessing. I've seen him live quite a few times. To see him appear in AEW and New Japan and see what he's done across the pond is exquisite. He is, and you're going to see everyone's going to be talking about him in a few years' time. He is an exquisite talent. The things he does in the ring, his moves, his speed, it's just the next level. He's the new Daniel Bryanson. He's the new, like, Chris Jericho. People are going to be talking about him for years to come.
The reason he sold his car was because he was moving abroad. He didn't need it. That was why. I remember now.
What, I like you say about his skills in the ring. I mean, like, I remember going, I think it was probably the Electric Ballroom that I saw him in, and just his, like, his aerial dynamics, like what he was doing off the ropes was just insane. Because I think it's one thing to see on TV, and there's another thing when you see it live, you're like, how does someone move through the air and do that? I recently actually saw a wrestling move that he did, and it kind of, someone jumped off the top rope, he jumped up with him and then flipped him in the air, the other guy. And I was like, how do you come about doing that? And the danger involved in, like, learning those sort of techniques must be,
Yeah, I think a lot of people will assume that, or do assume that wrestling is fake. But when you actually do, I've done wrestling training, I'm fully aware that the things that people do in this ring is crazy. Yeah. It's skills, it's athleticism. It's the wrong word, but fuck it.
I think we know where you're going with it.
Yeah. is beyond anything that's happening. And he's still quite young for what he's achieved in his life. And it's true, when you see it in the ring itself, I've converted people by taking them to wrestling shows. And they now regularly come to Progress with us, even though they don't watch wrestling on a regular basis the way that we do. They will come to watch Progress because seeing it live is a complete different kettle of fish.
Yeah, absolutely. So I met him briefly before I knew anything about him. We bumped into him before the show, and he was just such a nice, unassuming dude, just wearing a little hoodie. And my mate was like, oh, this is Will. I was like, oh, hey, mate, yeah, good luck tonight and all those sort of things. And then he came out. He obviously takes off his hoodie. He's, like, bodied up. And I'm like, holy shit. And then he's just flying around the ring. Like, he obviously, his name, Ospreay, he lives by that name. It's great. I'm so glad you've put him in your top five. And as you say, like, how nice to see someone go that far with their dreams and hard work. There's a real dedication with Will, isn't there, to what he's doing. So amazing.
when I think you kind of felt the success and the future potential for what he could do from AEW's pay-per-view from Wembley last year, when he appeared on there. If you haven't watched it, go and watch it, just because of the emotion that comes out of that crowd for him. You can feel it.
Love it. Number four?
Let's do it.
Okay, number four. Again, it's still in my upcomers list. We're going to get into proper stuff in a minute. Anyway, Rhea Ripley.
I love how much you're really...
This is taking me time.
Stressed you out, this, hasn't it? You keep underlining the fact that it's not your all-time. Yeah. This is just today.
Like. And here's my caveat to this one.
Yeah. Because there's different categories. Yeah. We could do this podcast all day. Okay. Rhea Ripley.
That's Rhea. A great name.
Yeah, amazing.
Rhea Ripley, Mammy. Oh my God. What a transformation that this woman has had over the last couple of years. When she joined Judgment Day in 2022, I kind of was like, I don't think this is going to work. Oh my God, has it worked? This is great. She's obviously Australian, but she has a level of being relatable. She's obviously a fan favorite, despite being in this heel staple at this moment in time. But what she can do in this ring is amazing. People used to call her the new version of Charlotte Flair, which I felt was so unfair on her. Because when you get compared to another wrestler, especially another wrestler who is well-known, who's well-talented, who's well-technical, you have this, like, can I beat this? Can I meet this kind of level?
Yeah.
Mammy's gone on her own level. And I'm so excited because she's currently the champion. I want her to keep this championship on Raw for a very long time. She's going to be more or less, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be very disappointed in the WWE. But she should be headlining the pay-per-view that's happening next in Australia, because I think it's the first time they've gone to Australia in a very long time. It's Elimination Chamber. And she should headline this pay-per-view. If she doesn't, I don't know what WWE is thinking. just sounds like a home welcome. She should be the person that she's facing, and it will be a great way to end that pay-per-view. She's also attractive as fuck. So.
I mean, you mentioned that you've done some wrestling training.
Yeah.
Like, tell us a little bit about that. And do you fancy having a go?
I've never wanted to be a wrestler. That's not ever something I ever thought I could do. I've always thought I was a better manager, if anything. I can get involved in matches. I can probably cut some really good promos. However, in order to be able to do those things, you had to learn how to, like, do take bumps at least.
Okay.
And I did it when I was younger, very much younger than this. And I did it for a few weeks, then realized maybe it wasn't for me to train in. And then my New Year's resolution for this year was to do it again. And oh my God, my body's like, why have we done this to our life? the first week of training, I bruised my leg so bad that it was all black on one leg. Completely black.
Does it hurt more when you're doing it or the next day? When do you feel it most?
The next day. The next day, definitely. It's a different, like I said, people think it's fake, but there's a level of what you put your body through.
Yeah.
That people don't seem to understand. No. The things that people do in the ring, outside of the ring, throwing yourself up top ropes is dangerous. And if you don't do it properly, you are going to get yourself severely injured. And my body was like, why are we doing this to our life? you do too many things in your life.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It is. Don't do this one.
I think it's then going and performing with those injuries as well. It's not like wrestlers, like they take a, I mean, like professional fighters, you take an injury and then sometimes just be like, oh, okay, that's it for a while, especially wrestlers, that they just keep pushing on.
And I think it was that for me, like that was my opinion. I was just like, it was all staged, and I was like, you know, I'm not really seeing what the, you know, and then I saw the wrestler. Mm. And then when I saw that kind of that story and seeing what Mickey Rourke was doing through, and the sacrifice and the injuries that were relentless. And obviously when you're fighting at the higher levels of it, maybe the matches are fewer and far between, but a lot of these jobbing wrestlers, they're fighting constantly.
Yeah. All the time.
And you just think the toll that must take on your body must be relentless.
Yeah, because people think it is, for example, with WWE, that it's Raw, SmackDown, and then the pay-per-view, so they will only wrestle like maybe once a week. No, there's home shows in between. There's like WWE live shows that are not televised that they have to do. And Seth Rollins, who is the World Heavyweight Champion on Raw currently, he's injured, and he's been injured for about 3-4 months, and he's still working through these injuries. The things that people do to their body for the sacrifice of entertainment, but you could tell that they love it. When you actually speak to a wrestler, you can see that they really embrace, they really enjoy the craft of wrestling. And that's what I really love.
With the wrestling shows, because in the States, wrestling's, you know, everybody wrestles at college, and, you know, it's, you know, that kind of sort of more Roman Greco style wrestling, and that sort of Olympic style, does that interest you, or is it the kind of the whole sort of show and pantomime that's around, you know, the wrestling that you watch that attracts you to it?
I think for me, because like I said, I started watching it in the Attitude Era, and the Attitude Era was very different, especially when it came to females. There was not really many female wrestlers that was on the show compared to there is now. The evolution of female wrestling has been so impactful on the industry in general, to the point that where there's now an all-female women's promotion, as I mentioned earlier, which is Eve in the UK. But to have... The difference in the Attitude Era was it was more gimmicks, more storylines, more fun, if you want to put it that way. More, let's beat each other with chairs, let's get into a steel cage match every day kind of vibes. Where now, wrestling has evolved. It's grown to the technical wrestlers, the strong style wrestlers, the high flyers, the entertainment wrestlers, like R-Truth currently is the best thing that's happening on Raw at the moment. R-Truth is a comedian wrestler. He's great at what he does. He has perfect timings with his jokes. And he doesn't even have to wrestle. And that's the funny thing.
Yeah.
But for me, it's the whole show itself. If there was just like a show where it was just like technical wrestlers or high flyers, I wouldn't be interested. It's about the drama of the show, the storylines, how people, the switches, the changes, the surprises, the costumes, the entrances. I got into rock music mainly because of wrestling, because the entrances were epic. So it's everything that combines wrestling that makes it entertainment. And they do call it sports entertainment for a reason.
I think my friends who have loved it since the 90s, it is a combination, and they do love the narratives and the people turning, you know, going turning heel from babyface and whatnot. And even like just seeing the narratives when you're at a live show and seeing how a story is told in each match is just something that I think when you know people first start showing you wrestling, you're just like they're getting thrown about in a ring. You might get drawn in because of that, but then actually you start seeing that they're constantly, it's packed like it's theatrics. It's constantly telling a story. And I think the comedy in it can be just genius. It's so funny how the fights pan out and how they can get into some really stupid and creative ways of the back and forth in the match. It's great. But can you tell me a bit more about Rhea? Because I don't know a lot about Rhea Ripley. As I like the last few years, I haven't watched a great deal of it. So did you say she's American?
Australian.
No, she's Australian.
She's Australian, sorry.
But she wrestles for WWE.
Right, yeah.
She started out a few years ago. She had a very slightly different look, longer hair when she started. And then when she got upgraded into the WWE program, the performance center, if you want to put it that way, she obviously, you have to evolve a character, you have to create a character. And it kind of, she created this like punk, hardcore, like woman, powerful, like boss bitch character, like leather jackets, which had like studs on it. She had cut her hair and it was all black. And then she was entered into like a progressive, like female competition to see like who was going to be the next up and coming wrestler within WWE. And then she got placed on NXT, which is what we call their development program show. Even though it's televised, it is up and coming wrestlers who are just honing their craft, honing their mic skills, being able to understand how TV works before they get promoted to Raw or SmackDown. And she debuted in the Royal Rumble a couple years ago, 2020, I believe, and then officially got promoted to Raw 2022, I believe, after winning NXT Women's Championship. And since she joined, as I mentioned earlier, the Judgment Day, which I kind of, we all kind of was like, this is an interesting choice, has been badass. She more or less has been running Raw. She's in a staple, so a group called the Judgment Day, which features Dominic Mysterio, which is Rey Mysterio's son, who also has developed into his own man, which I'm so happy about. Finn Balor, Damian Priest, who currently holds the Money in the Bank briefcase, and JD McDonagh, who is there. And and she is not considered the leader, but everyone knows she's the leader. Yeah. She's got this nickname, Mammy, and she is hot.
Amazing.
Hot.
Ripley's my favourite action hero of all time from Aliens. So she's, yeah, I'm already a fan of her. Whoa, amazing. Number three.
It's great. I would love to see... Did I see her live? Because we went to see Money in the Bank last year and I can't remember if I did see her live. I think I did. Yeah, but she's great. She's absolutely great.
So many wrestling shows.
Love it.
What's your number three?
Okay, number three. Again... It's not all time, but I've decided to put this, I'm going to say collective in, because this is me kind of cheating.
Hey, it's your top five.
The New Day. The New Day are a collective featuring Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, and Big E. They formed, I'm going to say, what year we're in, 2024. They've been together for about 10 years now. And they started this collective, they're all black, and they started this collective. Initially, it was about, they kind of built it like they were like preachers in church. There was this whole vineyard that was going around with them, like in church, and gospel singers behind them. And it was all about positivity. And initially when they came out, people didn't like it. They were booing them. Since they've kind of, and it took them a couple of months to like really fall into this character. But, oh my God, they are now, you talk about the New Day in wrestling, everyone loves them. And they have everyone has loved them for about 9-10 years. They're one of the best tag team, even though there's three of them. They're one of the best tag team wrestlers in the show, in the company, in the wrestling universe. Yeah. Kofi Kingston had his own moment, which was Kofi Mania a few years ago against Daniel Bryan, where he actually won. Sometimes WWE has its own version of what they want to do with storylines. Then the fans go, we don't like that.
Nah.
We don't like that at all. So then they start doing certain things where WWE have been like, oh, damn them. We have to change our plans. And this is exactly what happened. Kofi Mania kicked off and where people were chanting for Kofi. And there was this gauntlet match about whether he's actually going to get into WrestleMania. He actually got into WrestleMania, won WrestleMania, winning the championship. Since then, since he's lost it, I'm not going to talk about how it's not really gone well for him.
Yeah.
But the point for me is that how these are three black wrestlers within this company who've made a name for themselves, who do amazing, funny promos, who do things like throwing pancakes into the audience, who have dressed up in colorful outfits, because as a black woman, sometimes we're seen to be aggressive, angry, and they didn't come out wearing dark colors. They came out wearing bright colors.
Yeah.
They came out with this positivity to them. They came out wanting to have fun. And Big E, who was unfortunately injured, he injured his neck a year and a half ago, and he's had to have spinal operation on it. And I don't know if he's ever going to come back to the ring, which would be such a shame.
No way.
Because those three together are so magnetic.
They continued without Big E?
Yeah, they have continued without Big E as a tag team, because with the tag team championships, it was at one point different people within the collective having the belts, or they used to, at one point there was all three of them and they just used to like change whoever went into the ring. So that was fun. But currently, yeah, they're currently just Kofi and Xavier are tag team. And they have done individual runs as well. There was one point where they were split up and everyone was like, why would you do that? Why would you split up the New Day? Why would you do that? That is stupid. where Xavier Woods and Kofi was on SmackDown and Big E was on Raw. And it was that they were pushing Big E to have the belt, the main title belt. And he did eventually get it after winning Money in the Bank, but the run didn't go as well as people wanted.
Right.
But to be honest, people's first runs as champion never go well. It's always their second, their third runs. That's always the better ones. But since he's been injured, they have continued as a tag team. And it's just their energy. It's about the positivity, but also they're epic wrestlers. Kofi is notoriously known for entering the Rumble and doing some crazy maneuvers for him not to be able to be eliminated in the Royal Rumble match. The Royal Rumble match is where you get thrown over the top rope.
Yeah.
And if you hit the floor with both your feet, then you're automatically eliminated.
What sort of maneuvers has he done then that you sort of like stand out to you?
Like he's ended up being thrown onto the commentary table. So he's not both feet have hit the floor and he's managed to land on a chair. So he's gone from the commentary table, climbed onto a chair and hopped the chair over.
That's so good.
Literally hopped the chair over to the ring and then climbed back into the ring. He's been thrown out. Both his feet have landed on the steel steps and he's like stand himself back into the ring.
That's great.
He's great. He's notoriously known for it. He didn't do anything like that this year, which was annoying for everyone. But, you know, he's got some great spots into trying to get back into Rumble.
New Day, like we were like, you're probably expecting a reaction. Me and Stu were like, it was like showing a dog a card trick. We were like, oh, no, we don't know these guys. And again, you've sold Rhea and you've sold New Day so well now. And they've been together ages, so they've had that time to sort of develop their sort of like shtick.
Yeah, and they've even hosted WrestleMania. When I tell you, when you say New Day, people light up. It's about positivity.
Yeah.
They know they're going to have a great time. They're not going to have a great show. I just really, especially like I said, as a black woman, watching these three guys having the impact they've had on the industry has been great.
That's amazing. Because it can get a little bit like, you know, a lot of the wrestlers come out all moody and whatnot, and you have that like sort of hardcore punk vibe. But to have like the happy sort of vibes. I know watching Progress, there's certain characters that have come out to Bewitched and stuff like that, and it just put a massive smile on my face. I was just, it's just a completely change of sort of like attitude and stuff like that.
And people chant with them, just like, Xavier comes out with a trumpet and you're like, okay.
Love it. Number two.
Okay, number two. Okay, I'm going for it.
Sorry, mate.
This is one of the people who is in my top five all-time wrestlers anyway. It's Eddie Guerrero, RIP.
Yes.
Eddie Guerrero. Yeah. Lying, stealing, cheating. Love it. Obviously, he comes from a Mexican background. Mm-hmm. Generational wrestler. Came into the WWE in 2001. And has probably one of the biggest impacts as a Mexican wrestler within wrestling. He was such a likable hero. It's such a shame he has passed away too early. And you could feel when he did pass away, the impact it had on the wrestling family in general, the wrestling world. He was charismatic. He had charisma. Him coming out in lowriders was just great. He has one of my favorite matches, which is against Rey Mysterio, not in WWE, it was in WCW. But
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's an epic match.
Yeah.
It's so good for these two Latin wrestlers to be able to demonstrate what they can do in a ring in a world that was actually dominated by the Hulk Hogans, the Goldbergs, the Rocks, the Stone Cold Steve Austin was great. And him coming into WWE, obviously there were some like backstage problems with drugs, alcohol, family, if you want to put it that way. but him coming out in lowriders, having fun, doing some shimmies. His relationship, for example, with China at one point was great. that was the original Mammy was China, who also has passed away. But for me, was a great example of what a female wrestler should be. She wasn't she wasn't even fighting female wrestlers. She was fighting men.
Mm-hmm.
But Eddie Guerrero teaming up with her and bringing out a softer side to her was lovely to see. Just him being charismatic and charming, throwing roses at her. Mammy, was great. him against Rey Mysterio back in WWE, or WWF is what it was called back in the day. Fighting against Dominic Mysterio was great. Fighting over a child that's not yours. Okay, cool. Sure. Yeah, that's what we're doing. Cool.
You mentioned female wrestlers, and before we get on to your number one, I just want to sort of touch on the sort of crossover, because I think the only times I kind of keep my eye on what's going on in wrestling now is I'm a big UFC fan, and recently we've seen, and we talk about female wrestlers, we've seen, you know, the UFC, the first female fighter to ever fight in the UFC to then go on to be somebody that was a trailblazer for women's MMA was Ronda Rousey. And we've now seen Ronda wrestling. And I think she doesn't compete in mixed martial arts anymore. There was rumors that she might reappear on UFC 300, but I don't think that's going to happen. But seeing her move into wrestling, yeah. And we've also seen, you mentioned Mexican wrestlers there. We've seen Cain Velasquez move from the UFC. And interestingly, to flip it back as well, obviously we saw Brock Lesnar go from wrestling to the UFC and become a UFC champ. And so does either of these kind of things that sort of flip between and people moving from sort of discipline to discipline, does that ever kind of draw your eyes over to the UFC? Is that something that interests you?
I watch UFC occasionally. It's not as obviously as regular as WWE wrestling, if you want to put it that way. Because it's not, I talk about WWE quite a lot, but there is AEW, there's TNA, it's Progress Wrestling, there's Eve Wrestling. I watch wrestling probably like 5-6 times a week. It's quite obsessive. I woke up this morning, watched wrestling. I'm like, oh, I've got to do a podcast now. Okay, fine. This will be fun, though. This will be the wrestling. But when Ronda like switched over, for me, I was... When sometimes when you see someone come from a quite a technical, brutal world, UFC is proper real. It's proper sport. And they come into WWE... It's whether they can hone their skills and their craft into the WWE wrestling world. Brock Lesnar's probably different because he went from backwards with it. Because he did come from a sports wrestling background in university into WWE to then go into USC to then come back to WWE. But Ronda was interesting, and Ronda's no longer with the company as we talk on this podcast. And I'm not going to lie, I'm not mad at it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like towards the last year or so, couple years, she's not been in it. Like she's not been, and I feel the fans felt she's not been in it.
Right.
Because it's a very different skill.
Yeah.
And she did come out and try and put wrestling on blast, which the fans did not like, to be like, of course, I'm fine. Like, wrestling's fake. Da-da-da-da. I'm just like, okay, we don't need to be put in wrestling.
Man, that's crazy. That's crazy. It's I used to listen to a lot of the martial arts guys who do film, like Jackie Chan. They would say, like, the difference in real life fighting and doing it on film is that, you know, your kicks swing wider. Because it's about how it's perceived on camera.
Yeah.
And so you have to do it in a way that maybe, as you were saying earlier, Keisha, like the brutality or the technicality of Rowdy, Ronda, doesn't necessarily mean that's going to transfer to being an exciting wrestler for fans, right? To see like the dynamicism. There we go.
Yeah, we've all got problems with words this morning. Yeah.
It's too early. You need that, and you need to be able to sell that to a crowd. And maybe that didn't, you know, she had the name and it was exciting for her to come over from UFC, but yeah, she maybe couldn't quite convert it. And if you think she's dialing it in as well.
This is the thing, like WWE will see certain stars and think money.
Yeah.
And think they can come over, it can help promote wrestling, but at the same time, it will make us money. People like the Saudi shows that WWE do, the main reason why they do them is because they get paid money for them.
Well, we're seeing all the boxing moves to Saudi now.
Yeah.
Like that's where the money is. And it also, you know, Dana White is obviously all about a pound note. And to say that sort of Ronda went to there and it didn't work, it kind of worked the other way as well, because the hype behind CM Punk's going to come to the UFC, fuck me. I mean, that was so bad.
That hype. And because obviously he had left WWE with this big dramatic exit, quite controversial. And then it was, he's going to be in UFC. We were like, okay, let me get my coffee. Let me get my tea. Okay. I'm ready to watch that, and that was
you would have had about one sip and that was over.
Did it affect his wrestling legacy?
No.
Like, no, it didn't. So no. Like, people didn't give a shit. Like, they were like, you know.
He went back to wrestling. He turned up in AEW 2021, got fired in 2023, turned up back in WWE, which was something that we literally say now has broke over because he's turned up in WWE, something that we never thought was going to happen.
Right.
There's videos of me being proper shocked him turning up because we didn't think this was ever going to happen. But it's not affected his wrestling career.
But he's still adored, is he?
Adored is a difficult word.
Yeah, right, okay.
We know about his situations that have occurred backstage if you're a proper wrestling fan. For example, why he got fired from AEW and stuff like that. But he still calls himself the best wrestler in the world. People agree with it. The pop he got when he came back to, when he turned up at Survivor Series was ridiculous. Outshined Randy Orton's one. So people love him, but his UFC was hilarious.
too good.
Right, top spot.
Well, before we do number one, like right at the start, you said you couldn't catch Will Ospreay because you're touring.
Yes.
So when and where's the tour? Where are you going? What's the vibe of the tour?
So I'm touring my show that I premiered in Edinburgh last year called Hear Me Out. It's quite a, still a party. I love to party. My energy on stage is very much bubbly and having fun and stuff like that. But this show is a bit more personal for me because in 2022, now I keep lying to you. No, it is true. In 2022, in December, I got diagnosed as being dyslexic. So the show is all about that and how I've realized how I communicate is probably very different to other people. And it's something that I've only found out in my mid-30s. And wow. I've got myself an education. I am a stand-up comedian. Yeah, I'm a lawyer. People think it's a bit crazy. But it's made me rethink a lot of things about myself, especially how I communicate. But I am touring the show. It's my first ever tour. Very excited. Around the UK. I will be in starting off in Leicester on the 18th for their Leicester Comedy Festival. Then I'm going to London, Manchester, Brighton, Leeds, Southampton, Edinburgh, Glasgow. And then I'm closing it off at the Mac Festival. MacLiffin. It's in Wales. MacLiffin Festival, which is in Wales in May. So it's a very small tour, but it's my first tour. And I would love people to come and see it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's got five stars. So
well, that's incredible. I mean, you've done loads of other bits. You know, you've been on Live at the Apollo, Jonathan Ross. You've done loads of bits and pieces. So, you say it's a small tour. I think you're being quite humble there, Ski. So I think you're smashing.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Come to the chat. Basically,
if he's in London, I'll be down for that.
Absolutely, we'll put the your web address in the show notes so people can go and click that and go and see where they can come and see you. But before they do anything else, they need to know what your number one is.
Yes, we need to know what the number one is. That's never changing.
Strap in. It's never going to change. It's been this way since the first day I've watched wrestling. It is the Undertaker.
Incredible.
Of course, it is.
Yeah,
has to be the Undertaker.
Yeah,
the most dynamic character in wrestling history, I think, is my personal opinion. You talk about different styles of wrestling. The one thing that I believe truly that makes a good wrestler a wrestler is their character.
Yeah.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, The Undertaker, Mick Foley, with his three characters, they all established a character. And Undertaker obviously debuted at Survivor Series in 1999. No, we're talking about 1990. Edit that bit. 1990. No, what I'm talking about. Debuted in Survivor Series at 1990. And was this dead man. He looked like he came from a funeral home.
And
people were like, what is this? And he was dark. He was mysterious. He was quite scary, actually.
Yeah.
When he first came out, because he wasn't really talking. He came out in all black. Yeah. In the gloves.
Very economic, wasn't he, with his movements and stuff? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like this whole throwing himself around, shouting and screaming. He was kind of stern. The power was in the fact he wasn't saying a lot, you know?
No, exactly. And then he came out with Paul Bearer. He was his mouthpiece, who's a very high, squeaky voice. And he had the longest entrance in the world, which is quite slow. Anticipation was happening. And as the years went on and his character grew into the relationship he had with his brother, Kane, was a great storyline, which went on for years. And then him creating the Ministry of Darkness, where you're crucifying people, hanging people from cells, as I mentioned earlier. I don't know what's wrong with me. But he also was a great wrestler. Not the best wrestler, but he was a good wrestler. And him being as tall as he was to be able to move around the ring, especially as when he returned back to wrestling in 2000, was still something that was quite surprising for someone of his age and height and weight. When he did come back to wrestling in 2000, he kind of got rid of this dead man persona and created a new one, which was the American Badass, which was hit or miss. Came around it with his motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't love a motorcycle? But he is enchanting, and he obviously has had the biggest streak in wrestling history ever, which is the WrestleMania streak, which was broken by Brock Lesnar. But it went on for 20 years where he was undefeated in a row.
Wow.
And no one can say that. He's a legend.
Years.
He's a legend.
You've got to be popular from every probably angle of the industry for them to keep you there doing that for 20 years, right? Not only have you got to be a fan favourite, but you've got to be obviously doing the right things probably behind the scenes to be able to keep your spot like that. That must be difficult. Such a challenge.
That was the one thing about him that people talk about. If people talk about The Undertaker, aka Mark Calloway, is that he was loyal to the company and he still is loyal to the company. The documentary that came out about his final years or his career was so inspiring to see this man who didn't want to give up this career. Because also, when you're of that age and your career's gone on for that long, what do you do next? Where do you go? You end up backstage at a wrestling promotion? Do you end up as a trainer? Do you end up as a commentator? What do you end up doing? Do you end up retired? Just doing nothing in your house? It's you living your life 350 days of the year on the road. And then going and doing nothing. And he talks about in his documentary, the final few matches he had were not how he wanted to end his career. And this is why he kept coming back, because he needed to be done the way that he wanted to do it. There's this notorious situation that happened in, I think it was Saudi, with Goldberg, which was horrendous. He couldn't even lift him up because Goldberg was doing some falafel and it was just like, mate, what are you doing? And then he talks about the fact the match he had with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, he doesn't remember half of it because he was concussed.
Yeah.
So he went through a whole 20-minute match concussed. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's madness.
But he is my ultimate character, ultimate wrestler. He embraces what wrestling means to me in one person.
Fantastic.
Pushes that nostalgia button every time.
As soon as as soon as Dong happens and there's a blackout, I'm in.
Great.
Love it. Thanks so much for coming on here and enlightening me about wrestling.
I've converted you, Chris.
I'm definitely going to. I've been threatening for so long to go to a Progress show anyway.
I
was literally talking to our friend Bozzers the other day about it.
I will be there on the 25th of February. Come.
Fantastic. Let's do it. Other than that date, what date does your tour kick off?
The 18th is the first official date of the tour, which is next week, Sunday. And then we go into March, which is in Glasgow. And then the rest of the dates will be April.
Fantastic.
And if you liked listening to Sakisa and her absolute wealth of knowledge on wrestling, you can check out Wrestle Club UK, right? That's your podcast?
Yeah, that's my podcast. I do it with four of her friends as co-hosts, but there's intertwined. We also have special guests as well, including wrestlers come on the podcast, as other comedians as well who enjoy wrestling. So it's called the Wrestle Club UK podcast. It's on Spotify and iTunes. It comes out every Friday. So please watch it. Listen.
Sick.
Fantastic. Thanks loads, Siskia. We're going to press stop on here, but don't go anywhere.
It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.